Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is their text number. Alan Shatter, Alan, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe. How are you?
Good. Now, I'm sure when you were Minister for Justice, you dreaded early morning phone calls because invariably they would not be in your capacity in that office, be good news. But you got an early morning phone call this morning, and what twigged it to you that it could be fraudulent, Alan?
Well, firstly, Joe, this happened yesterday.
Oh, great.
Well used to taking calls, but my wife answered our landline at home and someone... Was talking to her. I could vaguely hear what was going on. She asked this person a question, and then she gestured to me to pick up another phone.
Okay.
In the house. So what was happening was this: a lady was on the end of the phone. She was speaking with an Indian accent, and the message was that there'd been an attempt to use our Visa card,
okay,
and that the sum of 600 euros was involved, and she was contacting us urgently.
Great.
So my wife asked one or two questions, and the person she was talking to, as I listened, there was a clear sense of urgency about the call,
mm-hmm,
an expression of concern for right, our financial well-being.
Okay.
And I thought this was starting to sound very peculiar. My wife asked, where was she ringing from? And you expect the answer would be the name of one of the financial institutions.
Yeah.
And the answer was Dublin City. And then my wife said, well, where did this occur? To which the answer was very obscure. It wasn't clear where the alleged misuse of the credit card took place from.
Okay.
I rapidly reached the conclusion that there was something really peculiar, okay, about this phone call.
Yeah.
It was quite clear the next question was going to be, what is the number of your credit card? Hmm. And this is something you never give out to any unknown caller on the phone.
Of course.
So at this stage, I intervened and I said, could you tell me what your name is, please?
Mm-hmm.
And again, there wasn't a straightforward reply to that at the end of a couple of sentences. I had no idea what the woman's name was. I then said, do you know who you're talking to? Who have you phoned?
Okay.
Now, it would have been very easy to have said, you know, I phoned Alan Shatter, I phoned Carol Shatter.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just hesitation and silence. So the final thing I asked her was, I have some questions I'd like you to ask for answer for security reasons.
Okay.
Excuse me. To which there was a momentary silence, and then the phone was put down at the other end.
Oh, you said to her,
I said to her.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes, I said to her, I want you to answer some questions,
okay,
for me for security reasons. Which of course, is the approach that banks often
take
phone them before they'll talk to you about your own account. So my concern, Joe, really is mm-hmm, that this was clearly a scam.
Yeah.
It was clearly designed to get information about our credit card. There was some assumption at the end of the phone that would give out such information, and it might then be misused.
Right.
And it occurred to me that if someone, because of the sense of urgency,
mm-hmm,
from the speaker at the end of the phone, someone could easily have been taken in.
Yeah,
and,
as they have been. As they
given
have
information,
been, yeah.
Yeah, and given information they shouldn't give and could have found themselves in great financial difficulty. So my concern is, and I know, Joe, you've done many shows where people have been scammed. My concern is simply to make it known, look, people are at this in the run into Christmas. Never give out such information over the phone to an unknown caller.
Yeah.
And always ensure that you verify the nature of the call. If need be, if it's a financial institution calling you, get their phone number and ring them back before you give out any information.
Now, Alan, when you said to her, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
You just meant the name. You didn't. You weren't saying, do you know I'm a former Minister for Justice? Or,
No. I got the sense that this was an operation where they ring random phone numbers. I don't know whether they're getting them online or out of some phone directory. And that there was no sense she even knew the name of the person she was phoning. I mean, if you, I mean, I've on occasions been the recipient, obviously, of phone calls from banks or other bodies. And the normal thing is, hello, is that Alan Shatter? Is that Carol Shatter? There was no mention of her, by her, of anybody's name. It was simply this urgent issue of an attempt to scam €600 by use of your credit card.
So they're still at it, and be very careful. I think that's a very good idea, by the way. Can I ask you some security questions?
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. And of course, if you do that, if people are valid, they're going to talk to you. I have a good friend of mine who had a similar call and listened to the nonsense coming down the phone, and then said to them, "Before you go any further, I want you to know you've just phoned CIA headquarters."
Oh, brilliant!
And apparently, that resulted in the phone being put down as well.
As it often does. But another one, Alan, are you writing another book? What are you doing? Because we were doing our list of Christmas books for our books that have been popular this year, and one of them that came up is your own book, which I think was published in May, wasn't it? May this year. Frenzy and Betrayal, The Anatomy of a Political Assassin. Are you writing again, or how did that book do?
Well, I've been involved in a number of events relating to that book, fortunately.
I know.
And I'm sure to the relief of my very good publishers, Merrion Press. The book did well. I'm told it's still selling.
Right.
I'm getting very interesting feedback. I've got quite a number of letters from people who read it, who've told me they found it an interesting read and an unexpected read. So,
did you get any apologies?
No.
From within Fine Gael, I mean.
Well, I think that issue goes beyond Fine Gael, without simply without getting into the details of it, Joe. But there are outstanding issues. For example, the senior counsel who produced a report wrongly condemning me without any sort of hearing or due process, all of whose conclusions have been proved to be incorrect, both by an independent report produced by Judge O'Higgins, and subsequently the Supreme Court said that he'd gone way beyond his powers and hadn't given me any proper hearing. Well, that senior counsel, Mr. Sean Gearan, I would have expected out of sense if he had any decency by now.
Yeah, I'm sure now. Just be careful, and you know he is a decent man in that sense. But anyway,
now of your concerns about defamation and stuff. Yeah. I write about this extensively.
I know you do, and
about,
you've spoken about it in the same way. And in fairness, I should say, by the way, Stephen Collins, who's long standing former political editor and a columnist in the Irish Times, who wrote about your book, Frenzy and Betrayal, the Anatomy of a Political Assassination, a true story, I hasten to add, should be required reading for journalists, politicians, civil servants and lawyers as a case study of how false narratives can develop with lightning speed and become widely accepted as fact, with devastating consequences for those caught in the centre. Was that the worst period? Obviously, we all have families, but in terms of your political life, Alan, was that the worst period, that time you were confronted by...
It was, of course, Joe, and people reaching wrong conclusions and making false allegations effectively destroyed my reputation and ended my active engagement in politics. And sadly, that remains the case. But the book is important beyond anything that happened to me personally, because the book, which I started writing in 2015, as you say, it came out in May of this year, is about a hugely important theme and an issue that has got a great deal more prominence in the last 2 to 3 years, particularly in the context of the Trump presidency and the Johnson prime ministership, which is the crucial importance of truth. Truth in public life, truth in how we engage with people, just acknowledging factual truth is something of great importance. And unfortunately, we seem to be currently living in an era in which little value is given to truth. People fabricate narratives around issues and then become emotionally attached to them. So the book tries to address the importance of truth, the importance of good journalism, because we have in Ireland some great journalists, but we also have journalists, frankly, who write stories that they may believe in at the time when they write them, but there's no question of anyone ever acknowledging that they got anything wrong. And I think that's unfortunate.
But it wasn't journalists who effectively sacked you, Alan, or destroyed your reputation. It was the party leader. Sorry, I'm not saying destroyed your reputation. It was the party leader who forced you to walk, and that was Enda Kenny. You're not comparing him to Boris or Donald Trump, are you?
No, I'm talking about the book generally, the title, Frenzy and Betrayal. The frenzy part of it is the media and political frenzy that surrounded issues which were truly and genuinely important, and issues about which I spoke truthfully at all times. The reality, Joe, is if you know you're telling the truth about something, and if you believe you've dealt with it competently, and if later on, independently, you're found to have told the truth and dealt with it competently, it's extraordinarily difficult living through a period when everyone is assuming you're telling lies. But look, that in a sense happened in the past. But
we were only talking about the book to you today because it was out this year and it's still available, as you say. And it's as Stephen Collins said, it's a fascinating read and a really important book in terms of everyone learning, including ourselves. I hasten to add.
One thing that was said to me by one person who wrote to me was she expected some sort of boring political biography, because by and large political biographies can be boring, and she said it was like reading a thriller. In the context of some of the events that took place. So if I could use this opportunity just to thank those who did write to me, and I've tried to reply to as many of them as possible. They didn't always give their addresses, so there wasn't always someone to respond to or an address to respond to. So I hope people will still find the book interesting. I think it tells a story that's of current relevance. It's relevance to today's politics. It's relevant to where our country heads to in the future. And I think it's relevant to how people assess information that they read and also they hear broadcast.
And did of the people who wrote to you, did Enda Kenny write to you?
No, I'm afraid when it comes to my former colleagues, to use that well-known phrase, the rest has been silence.
Wow. And do you think you'll get a single Christmas card from anyone in Fine Gael?
Well, I when I talk about former colleagues, I'm referencing those who are still politically active as members in Leinster House. I should correct that by saying some former Fine Gael colleagues who are no longer elected members of the Dáil or the Seanad have been in contact with me. And of course, I still have some friends within the Fine Gael party around the country. And when we did some events around the book, I met some fantastic Fine Gael people, and indeed people who have no allegiance to Fine Gael, who found the story I had to tell quite extraordinary, and many of them said to me it gave them a new insight into political life.
Okay. Alan, stay with us just for a sec, because unfortunately, I think you are going to save some people, because it's an alert from Alan Shatter, who got the phone call yesterday trying to get money out of his account. Tommy, they got money out of your account, the same scam, you reckon?
No, Joe, I reckon they didn't, no.
Oh, they didn't? Oh, sorry.
No, sorry.
I got the exact same call, same amount, 600 euros.
Yeah, I got
taken
the call,
from my account. Good man, what happened?
No, what happened was around 12 o'clock I got this call. Similar to Alan, that there was a kind of an Indian person or someone that of Asian, and they said that 600 had been taken from my account, and they said, would you press 1 urgently? So it immediately alerted me, if the bank's going to contact, they're going to contact and talk to you. But this was just immediately straight on, press 1 urgently. So I said, there was no way. I've been through this before. I've had several calls over the years. I know a scam to see when I have online banking. Anyway, I'm able to go in immediately and check the account. But just to say, similar to exactly what Alan was saying there, that people want to be very aware what's going on, because they're going to target loads of people, as he says, in the run up to Christmas.
Loads
maybe
of Christmas,
now.
£600 is the amount they seem to.
That's the exact same amount as I got, and I'd say it was probably similar around the same time. Not sure what time Alan got his, but mine was around 12 o'clock, quarter past 12. But I've had them over the years, and kind of
well done. Well, I still think Alan Shatter's little trick almost of saying to them, can you answer some security questions for me before we go anywhere? I think that's a good idea. Okay,
Tom, because they'll never answer anything for you. They'll cut off immediately, you know.
Okay, Tommy. Okay, Tommy, thanks indeed. Alan. I suspect this will come as no surprise to you, and you're hopefully in a relaxed mode. Even though I meant to ask you, given your experience, family law, given your experience, Department of Justice, given your experience, Minister of Defence, at the same time, given your long parliamentary experience, has anybody called on you since then to sit on a committee, or the government said, "Will you help us work in Tuzla or family law?" Has your expertise been called on, even pro bono, by the state?
No, the answer to that, Joe, is no. But whenever I'm out and about in what was my former constituency, I consistently have people coming up to me, urging me to run it for the Dáil again.
Okay.
But certainly there's no such urgings from the Fine Gael party, which basically effectively cut me off. There was something of a resentment that I did two things that upset people. The first was I challenged the outcome of what was known as the Guerin Report, and it took 5 years through the courts for that to be successful. And the second thing is I think I discommoded people on a couple of occasions by telling the truth in tribunals, commissions of investigation that were addressing some of the issues that gave rise to controversy some time ago. So I for some reason or other, the Fine Gael party decided that the best thing to do was to distance themselves from me. And as I say, really effectively, since I lost my seat in February of 2016, there's been no substantive contact of any description from anyone associated with the leadership of Fine Gael or from any anyone in Fine Gael headquarters.
Would you stand again? You're still a young man. Would you stand again?
Well, Joe, I've made no decision about that. As I say, people have been urging me to stand throughout my political life. Mm-hmm. I was a member of Fine Gael. I've always run as part of a Fine Gael team in elections. It was with a great deal of sadness I concluded, based on the events that had occurred, that I should end my membership of Fine Gael. So I quietly ceased to be a member of Fine Gael in the spring of 2018. So if I was to run in an election, I'd have to do so as
an
independent.
But who asked you to end your membership?
No, I decided, Joe, in the circumstances in which I found myself still fighting at that stage, there was still the outcome of court proceedings awaited, that there was no purpose in maintaining a pretense that I was still a part of the Fine Gael family. So I simply, after some 35 years of membership of Fine Gael, ceased making membership payments.
Alan, this will come as no surprise to you, unfortunately, but I see already on Twitter, now there are complimentary ones, you'd see them, but there's a number already. I've seen one of them in particular, he keeps tweeting, it's again anonymous, which makes reference to your religion. Which is and you even when you read your Wikipedia page, you see things like you were the first Minister for Justice and Defence from the Jewish religion. But as if that's, I don't know why that's worth even mentioning, but it is mentioned. But are you, at this stage, are you sick, sore and tired of people mentioning your religion? Are you just...
Well, Joe, I'm obviously not looking at Twitter as well.
I know.
But you're seeing, I expect, a microcosm of what I experienced. I mean, during the frenzy of 2014, there was a constant stream of anti-Semitic content spewed out on social media. As I explained in my book, we received very unpleasant communications. But at that stage, there was substances sent to my home, which required the Gardaí and the army to intervene. And I find, Joe, as you're now finding to this day, that whenever I publicly engage on any issue, there's an inevitability that the Twitter feed will produce anonymous individuals who engage in very unpleasant anti-Semitic narratives.
And just anyway, it's I was just pointing it out to you that I didn't expect it, by the way, but that it is there, and I'm sure you have to. I hope you don't have to put up with much at this stage in this in the history of our country. But anyway,
Alan, also have Joe people who are addicted to the untrue narratives that developed in 2014, around the time when I was Minister for Justice, all of which have now been independently established by a variety of inquiries and tribunals and court cases to be entirely untrue. But they always resurface, and sadly some of them still resurface within mainstream journalism as well.
Okay. Alan Shatter, thanks indeed for that call, and thanks for warning us, which is the main reason you contacted Liveland this morning, warning us about this scam is on the go again. You'll get a phone call, quick, urgent, 600 quid, it's just been whipped out of your credit card. We need your details to stop it as quickly as possible. And Alan Shatter wasn't caught because he asked them the simple question, can you answer me some of my security questions, which of course they couldn't and hung up. Alan, thanks indeed for your time, and thanks for your contact. That's Alan Shatter, former Minister for Justice and Defence. And more people have been I don't know whether they've been successfully subjected from the culprit's point of view, but we'll find out after this break. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Patricia Murphy. Patricia, what happened?
Joe, good afternoon. Nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
I got a similar call on Tuesday about 20 past 12.
Right.
Sounded like Indian and female. And she advised me that my card was being scammed of 600, but it was in Manchester.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And did I know anybody in Manchester? And I said, not. And I said, where are you calling from anyway? And she said, Visa headquarters.
Of course,
in the city.
Of course, yeah.
And To my knowledge, the Visa section of my bank is in Dublin 18. So that's a bit from the city centre. So anyway, I said to her that I would check with my bank. And she said, no, no, we're here to protect you. This call is being recorded for training and
quality,
all of that.
Yeah.
And we'll send you an email with the text when the call is finished. So then she proceeded to ask me, did I have a mobile phone or did I have a laptop? So I said, I'm not prepared to answer those questions.
Well done. And hopefully you put down the phone, did you?
I didn't actually. She continued for another bit and said she was there to protect my money. And, you know, it was in my interest and it was a free call. But if I ended the call, you know, my money could be gone. And I said, well, I still will go to my own bank, so I said I'm not engaging any further, so the call ended. But anyway, I then checked internet banking and saw there was no transaction on my Visa from the 21st, which I knew had happened. And I actually rang the number on the Visa card, and I would advise that they are currently targeting AIB customers big time.
Okay.
And the ringing landlines.
Okay, and Alan Shattergott, it was on his landline, as he
yes,
said.
Yes, mine was the landline as well.
That's interesting. It's very interesting. And you're you're in Dundrum. Alan Shatter's in South Dublin as well.
Yes.
Okay, but how did you finish it?
Well, she actually finished it.
Oh, did she?
Because I said, you know, I will deal with my own bank. I'm not engaging with you.
Well done. Yes, okay, she knew she wasn't getting anywhere. That's Patricia Murphy in Dundrum. Dennis Kiley is in Firhouse. What happened to you, Dennis?
More or less the same story, Joe. More or less the same story. Phone call this morning, roughly about 8:15.
Yeah, they're busy, yeah.
The same time, you know, same sort of call. We're from the security department of Visa and blah, 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 blah. And we decided, because we'd heard a friend of ours that had a similar phone call 2 days ago, so we decided to say, good luck, bye, put down the phone. Mm. Bang, that was it. But in the aftermath, I decided to ring Bank of Ireland Visa.
Okay.
Just to see what the story was. And she said, no, definitely a scam, it's going on and everything else. Make sure you don't give out any information.
Yeah, of course.
It's definitely a scam. But what she recommended to do, which is probably the reason I rang you up, was mm-hmm. that because it was on a landline, apparently the line stays open even though you put down the phone, and your conversations can be heard on the other line.
Oh.
So what they recommended was, in fairness, a nice lady in the visa department, that the phone should be disconnected from the socket or your internet or whatever you're using.
Okay, and that's the advice you got from the bank?
This is from Bank of Ireland Visa Department. Yes.
Just unplug your internet for 5 minutes.
5 or 6 minutes, and then just leave it and then
and
go back
phone
on.
Line. Okay, okay. Okay, let's try Richie Ryan. Richie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm
what
good.
What do you do, Richie? If I was, I rang you, I say, hello, I'm ringing from Visa headquarters. I'm sorry to ring you cold like this, but we've just had a signal on your credit card account. That €600 has been legally taken for you from your credit card account. You need to give us details as quickly as possible so we can stop this illegal transaction. What would you like to say, Richie?
Well, what I do for a small one, I'd ask them a few questions, you know, just trite questions, but then after maybe keeping them going for a couple of minutes, I have a whistle by the phone, a referee's whistle.
Well, then get it out there, will you? Because I'm trying to scam you. Go ahead, let's hear it. a health warning for the children off school. A health warning on Halloween.
Well, no, I'm so, not going to blow it. I'm not going to blow it as loud as I would to them. But
okay, so we lower it in every Nicky Air sound up and lower it in every household as you go. Go blow as hard as you can, Richie. Be our first whistleblower. Ah, sure. That sounds like something you hear on Lyric FM at 7:30 in the morning.
This is on a mobile phone now, and
okay.
It appears to work much better. But yeah, I get the scammers as well. I've a saltwater fly fishing business here in Cove, and I get the scammers looking for accommodation and two weeks fly fishing in Cove and the usual. Yeah, but
and how did I get money out of you through that scam? How are they hoping to get money?
One guy, when they set up the business, first what they did was they sent on the information and gave me the dates and whatever, and I said, oh, this is great, because I was new to the business, and they said they'd send me a check, so they sent on a check, and then I got an email from them. Oh, my stupid solicitor is after giving you too much money, mm-hmm. and can you lodge? They included my son's education for 6 months, and can you lodge that money immediately to this account? And straight away then they have your money. You bring in the check to lodge it, or you try to lodge it, and it doesn't. It bounces off.
They get in to get your own money. Okay, yeah, well spotted, Richie. That's Richie Ryan from the south, from, did you say Cove or Skibbereen, that part of the country. Tom Kennedy. Tom, good afternoon. Tom,
Joe.
Oh, people ring you and they say...
go ahead, sorry.
Okay, you have a quick line. What do you say when they say ask?
First of all, if they say there's €600 yes. gone from my account, they must know what my account number is.
Yeah.
They'd have to have that information. So therefore, they don't know who I am. So I simply ask, what's my name?
What's my name? What's my line? As it used to be. And you're gone.
They're calling me, they don't know who I am. If it's a scam.
Okay.
So they're calling at random.
Okay, but Tom, I'm looking at our screen. We could do from now, 2:15, if we won't, to 3:00, just on these scammer calls that Alan Charter got one this morning and is alerting people that they're out there trying to get your credit card details.
Yeah, they've had so, more of them as well.
But if they're phoning so many people, they must strike lucky once or twice a day.
Yes.
If not more, yeah. Okay, then people who are caught are embarrassed then that they're caught and they'll be afraid to ring 1850.
Those people should be able to be identified. First of all, I had to make a correction on my phone. See, that's a few years ago. So before I could confirm who I was, they asked me, what do I make? Two previous phone calls that I had made. So if I had found a phone or if I was any kind of a scam artist, they'd know who had the phone, who was the owner of the phone.
They are scam artists. They are scam artists. Okay, Richie, thanks indeed. And Tom Kennedy, laterally there in Waterford, 51551.